Welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Society, home for liberal religion since before the Civil War. Today we are doing our Earth Day service, which was postponed due to other considerations. It's also Mother's Day, so I called it an Earth Mother's Day service. I could just say I have a presentation of some ideas I have, and we have here an Earth flag. And during the open space, the idea occurred to me during our conversation that flying an Earth flag out in front of our building might be something we might want to consider. So I'll be doing another service on June 7th, and at that time I'm hoping to develop sort of a case for why this would be a good idea, tying it into our principle. So it will not be like deviating to another religion. It will be a more adequate expression of what our religion is. So let's now greet our neighbors. Okay, as we light the chalice, the words of VH1. The grand chaos is all alive and everlasting. From it we draw the breath of life. When we shut ourselves off from it, we stifle. And then I invite you to join me in reading in unison on the back of the program an ancient hymn. This is from a collection of hymns called the Homeric hymns, and they're hymns to the various Greek gods and goddesses. And they go back, they're not by Homer, but they go back to an earlier time, well before Plato. To Gaia, mother of all. To Gaia, mother of all of life, and holders of gods, I sing. You who made and be and guide all creatures of the earth, those who move upon your firm and radiant land, those who wing your skies, those who swim your seas, to all these you have given birth. Mistress, from you come all our hearts, our children, our night and day. Yours the power to give us life, yours to take away. To you who contain everything, to Gaia, mother of all, I sing. Now let's take a little time out to share joys and concerns. So, you all know that I've been interested in Earth-centered spirituality for a long time. And my thinking on it just continues to develop. And so I'm going to give you a chance to have the benefit of that. Talk about Earth loyalty as a spiritual orientation. I can hear the Earth goddess breathing. She is near. She is at hand. She is not far away. She is as close as my own breathing body, as near as the beating of my heart, as intimate to me as the air in my lungs, as present as the weather, or as the sea's caress. Can you find it in your heart to love her? Can you find it in your soul to have a care for her, for the earth that has given us everything? Forgive me, Mama, they were beating you and I turned away. They were raping you and I averted my eyes. They were sucking you dry as they parted on and I joined in, although I was ashamed to do so. I believe we're confronting these days a great triple crisis. Oil depletion, climate change, and the money meltdown. I think that the most important thing we can do in response to this is to take the vow. Take the vow and then share this decision, this profound change, with others. Instead of a decision for Christ, what we need today is a decision for the earth. Make your vow to the earth. Promise to live in your place with love, consideration, and respect. Withdraw your trust from stupid giants, organizations so large they cannot function without damaging surrounding life and structures. Recognize that the earth gave us life. The earth and the sun sustain us in life. Say no to the mesmerizing magic of the factories that transform earth's forms into junk within at most 10 years. We just saw the movie, The Story of Stuff last night, which tells us that within 6 months, actually, 99% of what comes out of factories is junk. It's actually really hard to believe that it would be that high a percentage. Say no to the idea that careless manipulation is the source of human good. And say yes to the wisdom that says knowledge without love is a blind, power-hungry dictator, a cold-blooded monster. The head cannot rule over the heart without producing apocalyptic destruction. Love the earth is the only way left now. The only way out of the trap which the world has become. Unless we love the earth, we will not survive. Our species will disappear, not because we cannot do the math, but because of a failure to love. We will disappear because we have banished the poets from the public square. There is no hope for us as long as we do not acknowledge that this has been an error. I vow to love the earth. I vow to meditate day and night on the meaning of this new love which I have found, this new passion for the earth which illuminates my path as I live on into the future we lovers will create together. I say no to a purely utilitarian relationship with the earth. I will not engage in, quote, value-neutral discussion with those who repudiate love the earth as a romantic daydream. I say no to the gangsters of doom who continue the insane project of modernity, that is, we shall be the masters and possessors of nature. They have put my mother on the rack. They are raping my beloved. They delight in their illusory triumph over her. I vow to love the earth with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We must give up flying, not only because of its large contribution to global warming levels, but perhaps more importantly, because of its power as a religious ceremony. Up, up, and away! Flying expresses and reinforces our assumed role as masters of the earth. It is a prime expression of our feeling of entitlement. 30,000 feet above the ground, we lose all perspective on where we fit into the ecological order, the life communities of the earth. All our aspirations to go higher, to slip the surly bonds of earth, find their fulfillment in a 747. Flying is a physical expression of our delusions of grandeur, our elation, our inflated sense of our right to rule. To go on to the stars, to master not only the earth, but the universe, is the next step. Those who love the earth will renounce flying because it is the arch ritual of man the master, man the counter-creator. Mention über alles. No, I vow loyalty to the earth. I vow to love the earth. I vow to remain connected to the earth all the days of my life. I aspire to be on the journey downward, not the way of star supremacy. I aspire to be at home on earth as the animals are, not to fly as angels above. What we need now, more than anything, is a ritual of refusal and of affirmation. By refusing to fly, we deliberately offend the modern sensibility, which finds human domination utterly natural and appropriate. By refusing to fly, we affirm our contentment with having our feet here on earth. By abandoning all dreams of some better place, we confess how much we love the earth. There is still time to avoid the worst of global warming, but in order to do so, we need an immediate shutdown, which cannot come about through rational arguments, or I could say, alone. That is. Rational arguments need to be supplemented with something else. Some other extremely effective factor must come into play in order to create a phase change. Probably everybody knows what that is now, but let me just say a phase change is illustrated by when ice turns into water. You keep adding heat, and you still have a solid block. And then you reach 32 degrees and still a solid block and you keep adding heat and melts And when it's all melted, then the temperature starts going up again. So you change from a solid to a liquid, and if you never saw water and you'd only ever seen ice, you would have no way of predicting what it would be. So what I'm talking about is a phase change where all the particles change at once. Okay. Some other extremely effective factor must come into play in order to create a phase change. The only model available is sudden, drastic religious conversion, similar to the evangelical awakening of American history or to the spread of Islam from Spain to India in less than a century. In a terrifying vacuum of meaning, a culture in free fall, as the future reality of life on Earth sinks into our deeper minds, people will be ready to grab onto anything that promises an anchor, a new center of stability in a world spinning out of control. Earth loyalty, love the Earth, is this new center. This needs to be available to people as an alternative way of organizing their lives and culture now, while the forces of disintegration fly around us like a snowstorm. We have no regard for the Earth. It is of no account in our calculations and strategies. We approach the Earth with an attitude of depraved indifference. Rising population shows our species narcissism. The birth rate in the U.S. reached its all-time highest level in 2007. What is humanism? Now, I use the word humanism, and I realize it has some good connotations. I'm using it as a bad one right now. Meaning human-centered. View of humans as the ultimate reality. What is humanism? Is it not a continuation of theism by other means after the death of God? We live in the bubble of our own self-importance. By contrast, an earth-centered spirituality would recognize that humans stand in a subsidiary, dependent position in relation to the earth. The earth is a sacred goddess, and we have sinned against her. I hold that the first principle of religion in our time must be love the earth. To see Earth as but a pile of raw materials awaiting transformation into human artifacts is false religion, the religion of man as God. The Christian fundamentalists are correct in believing that man is not God. They are deluded in their idea that the whole universe exists as but a stage on which the history of man with God is being played out. Man is not the center. For humans today, the Earth is central and must become central. Only by recognizing the Earth as the source of human good will humans find that spiritual orientation which they will need if they are to survive during the era of the death of man. That is the era which comes after the era of the death of God. Man cannot take the place of the missing God. Only the Earth can. The Earth, understood as the incarnation of cosmic life and creativity in our own local part of the universe. The creative power of the universe declares itself in the whole fabric of life on Earth. Once we set out on the path of Earth conquest, we were marching toward our own doom. Subduing the Earth has resulted in the destruction of the Earth as a suitable habitat for humans. If we want to survive, we will have to get used to the idea that we must submit to the Earth, that is, to the laws of ecology. There is no other way. There are laws on this earth, and we will either live by them or go the way of all flesh before our time. So I would like you to make your decision for Mother Earth today. You shall say, "Forgive me, Mama, for I have forgotten you. I have had no regard for you, even though I knew that all my life depends on your greater life. Therefore, I commit myself to have a care for you in all that I do. I will have no more than one child in my lifetime. I will never fly in an airplane. I will move towards subsistence, producing for myself a part of what I need to live, and I will move away from consumerism, a lifestyle based on buying everything I need, a lifestyle of abject dependence on huge systems over which I can have minimal influence. I will reduce my consumption of meat to a minimum. I will progressively reduce my use of my car until ultimately I will no longer own a car. I will not watch TV more than 1 hour a week. I will buy local whenever possible. I will get all my food within a 50-mile radius. I will never speak disparagingly or cynically of the earth, or of the community of living beings, or of the human body, or of the genitals which give us life. Every day I will mourn the destruction of nature in our time. Every day I will pray to the Mother Earth to ask forgiveness for my participation in this damage, a participation that I may hope to reduce, but cannot avoid altogether as a member of modern society. The decision I am making today is open-ended. I will understand it better by and by, and will refine my practices accordingly. I will refuse employment in industries that are notorious earth destroyers. If need be, I will accept a life of poverty before I will rape and batter my own mother. I vow this day loyalty to the earth above all else. I will love the earth here in my own place where I am practically connected and grounded in the great living planet. I renounce all other or former loyalties except insofar as they are compatible with this vow I am making today. I will love the earth with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Unless we personify the earth, we will not be able to repent. Will not change enough or soon. The writing is on the wall, stark and terrible. Implacable forces are already in play. Our species' future on this planet is at stake. It's not just at risk. Don't say it's at risk. Disaster is a certainty if we don't change radically. We are on a runaway train heading toward an abyss. All this is happening because we have forgotten our mother, the earth. We have no regard for her. We make our most consequential economic decisions without a thought for the earth. We treat her like an inert mass of raw materials or like sterile deserts of no use except as a place to throw our garbage. What we have lost fundamentally is a fresh, lively sense of our own dependence. We think of our relations with the earth as environmentalism, as if the earth were a mere externality, something in need of minimal maintenance, rather than being bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Mother Nature is a tired, worn-out figure of speech, useful only for sentimental greeting cards. But the reality is quite different. She is the goddess, and she will be honored, whether in heartfelt love and respect or in catastrophe. Those who despise her will pay the price. I say there is now only one way left, one hope for our species to love the earth, to feel in our hearts that we are a part of her. What we do to her, we do to ourselves. If you love the earth, you will not fail to evaluate any possible action in light of its effects on the one you love. If you love the earth, then you will vow earth loyalty. This is the one way change can come in time. Hundreds of millions bow earth loyalty. There is no other way. We are eating the seeds of the future. We are damaging earth's immune system, her ability to repair damage. This will lead to a fever so severe as to reduce us to at most a minor nuisance, after which recovery will emerge over the next 100 million years or so. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Let me try again. Let us have done with the judgment of God, the God who is pure light, the God in whom there is no darkness at all, the God of absolute clarity, who dwells in the domain of clear and distinct ideas. The darkness inside the earth is not the place of demons and horror, rather it is where the seeds sprout and grow. The darkness inside the body is not the source of evils, rather it is the place where life proliferates and renews itself. Passions of the flesh are not evil. Without them, the world would cease to turn. That life must end in death is not a mistake of the divine goddess. The ways of the underworld are perfect. Without death, life would be imperfect and one-sided. Nothing fresh or new could ever happen. Evil comes because people seek to impose an order other than the ecological order of nature. Humans do not accept human ecology, their own place in the scheme of things. The attempt to have light without dark, day without night, spirit without body, life without death. The arrogant wish to conquer and rule all this happening illimitably earth. This is the source of evil. It is the failure to accept limits set for us by the very nature of things. Must we in our blindness and folly go on forever banging our heads against the rock? So it seems, but in reality, a limit now appears on the horizon, that of our own extinction. The attempt to replace nature, to physically change the ultimate conditions of our lives on this earth, is now resulting in destruction on a grander scale. We have aroused Nemesis, the vengeance of the gods. We have set in motion a vast and implacable machinery, all because we have bought into an adolescent fantasy. Man says, I am and there is no other. Then cometh the end. The Greeks were well aware that humans are not gods, that when men act with godlike presumption, Nemesis rises in their path. The hero may be glorious, but only for a day. Soon he goes down to dusty death. Soon his great works crumble away and are forgotten. Hitler set out to found the 1,000-year Reich. 1,000 is a perfect number, so what it meant is a kingdom that will last forever. It was revealed to Hitler that the kingdom of God on earth would be a German kingdom. And so he went down. This German hero ignominiously committing suicide in the ruined capital of the Reich. More recently, the dream of perfection on earth has gripped the American commercial classes. The neoconservatives say we have reached the end of history. Our system has prevailed against all other contenders. It is now our duty to destroy all remaining opposition and so usher in the glorious fulfillment of human history. The American dream will be fulfilled for all people on earth. The conflicts and contradictions of history will end. Democracy, quotes, will take root everywhere. This is the most recent form of the dream of human dominance. Humans will remake themselves, and the earth will become a technological paradise where every newborn will be issued a laptop. Marx, Lenin, Hitler, and Dick Cheney all believed this fairy tale. And so, alas, have we all believed it, though we might like to forget about that now. Since all other life exists on earth exists only to serve humans and their fantasies, the sixth great extinction, the holocaust of nature, is not a problem. Indeed, it is but one more evidence of the glory of man. This fool, who imagines he can be king of the hill forever, cannot read the handwriting on the wall, cannot see that it is his delusions of grandeur that are the real source of disaster. He imagines that Islam is the source, because it is fatalistic. In other words, it accepts the limits of the human condition courageously, instead of acting on ecocidal visions of self-aggrandizement. Now the whole world has accepted consumerism as a way of life. The planet is the stockpile of raw materials waiting to be transformed into product. You can have whatever you want. You can be whoever you want to be. These are its slogans. Have as many children as you want. Express yourself. Without a single thought for the earth. Without an ounce of recognition that we are utterly dependent creatures, that without air, water, food, we perish. That we ourselves cannot survive on a conquered planet. We lay waste the body of our mother, unwilling to acknowledge that we still need her. We never outgrow our need for the breast of the mother. There is only one way left now to accept with humility our place on this earth and to rein in our insane fantasies of superiority and dominance. Global warming is our nemesis, the just reward of our heroic illusions and our arrogant species narcissism. My religion is to love the earth, to ask, will this action I am about to take contribute to global warming? If all people do as I am doing, can there be any hope of peace with the earth for our species? If I continue to fly high above the earth in the ecstasy of my self-exaltation, surely I have not yet got it. I have not yet recognized that my place is on earth. I am still caught in dreams that cannot be fulfilled. All too soon we will stand weeping in the collapsing bunker from which we thought we could rule. Homo sapiens, you were honest. There will be no end of history, only a painful adjustment to the reality of limits. We are born on earth, our destiny is here, not somewhere beyond the stars. I know this is a little long, but this is the whole program. The religion of the future will be earth loyalty. The word religion implies specific obligations. For example, confession once a year, fish on Friday, pray toward Mecca 7 times a day, circumcision, no abortion, so on. To pollute the earth, the air, the waters will be a serious sin in the religion of Scripture. The earth is our mother and the source of our lives and of all sustenance. To poison the earth is a blasphemy. Those who vow earth loyalty will renounce air travel except in the gravest exigencies. Such a vow will also include for women the promise to bear no more than one child. Men will be obligated to support women in their decision. In the near future, having a second child will be considered shameful and antisocial because the capacity to feed the world's billions of people will be in steep decline. An essential religious practice will be to grow a portion of one's own food, to know personally the truth that food comes from the earth, to have, shall we say, a personal relationship with the earth will be the mystical core of earth loyalty. Walking will be another essential practice, walking in a sacred manner, that is, with awareness of all our relations within the complex fabric of our local ecology. In sexual intercourse, we experience our profound bodily participation in the body of this earth. We enter for a little while a state of identification with the animals, the others with whom we share this planet, the holy animals who show us the way. In the religion of the future, care of the body and the full development of one's sexual nature will be not just tolerated, but encouraged for all who are going on to maturity as human beings. Here are some other obligatory religious practices. Study the processes of life on earth. Know the plants and birds. Become amateur naturalists, learning the flowers and the stars. Develop a feminized science, aiming at humans living well on this earth, accommodating ourselves to the essential conditions, learning our place, human ecology. Learning the earth and learning human go together. Lacking knowledge of our place on earth, we lack knowledge of ourselves. Humans cut off from the earth are not fully themselves. My religion is to love the earth. My spiritual practices, my sacraments, my life arrangements all follow from this. How can I love her if I do not know her? How can I know her if I do not love her? Let us fly the flag of earth loyalty as a public testimony and witness to our vital and primary law. Let us thus express our conviction that it is the earth and our right relation to the earth which are the source of human good. Forgive me, Mama, for I have forgotten you. I have forgotten that in relation to you I will always be as a little child, for I will always receive my daily bread from you only. O Mother of all, there is none like unto you, O beautiful, white and severe in winter, O green with the green of the new life in spring, and deep, rich green in high summer, and dark, dark with promise and loss as all things go under in the fall. As the wheel turns, Mama, we walk your holy ways, our feet in direct contact with your sacred body. Thanks, then. Thanks for this life, with all its sadness and limitations, ending in death. Is it not a participation in the everlasting life of the all? As we touch the earth, we touch the central mystery, the living source of all things. We are grateful even for the constancy of death, your rhythmic lover, bringer of renewal and fresh beginnings. For aid. Queen of my heart, broken earth, damaged earth, black queen of my heart, raped and disrespected, considered as naught, used and thrown away, yet queen even so, queen under the hill, singing the blues, raucous, throaty, powerful. Your Midwest soil is exhausted, mines and wells running out, now they are sucking the last drop from your pure subterranean reservoirs, fossil waters of the Oglala aquifer soon gone. All gone. We face into a depleted future. The conquistador within ourselves, the tower of strength, the false tower of strength, the safe crust of bias has collapsed. Mama, we are coming home to you now, nursing our broken hands and broken hearts, home at last in the arms of our broken mama, our damaged lover. We'll be singing the blues together. The fish in your oceans decimated, Mama. No more fish in the Grand Lake. We are your conquerors, babe. We enjoyed you in our way. Took our pleasure freely. Let the tap run wide open. Partying until dawn. And now it's the morning after, Mama. And we know in our empty hearts that things will never be the same again. The age of conquest is over. We must find a new way to be. We are with you now, Mama, with you for the first time, beaten and exhausted just like you, Mama, truly together for the first time, and finding in our hearts the terrible primitive strength to beat on against the odds, the same strength we know in you, Mama. Strength to create new forms of life out of the blackened landscape of the burnt forest. Out of the ashy world of volcanic island newly emerged from the sea. Instead of conquest, accommodation. Instead of purity, miscegenation and hybrid vigor. Instead of the sovereign master plan, bricolage. Instead of the martial trumpet calling us to battle, the sadness of the guitar among the pines. We are discovering our weakness now, Mama, among the ruins. We love you, Mama. We came forth from your belly, and to you we now return, confessing our need, our dependence. We have nowhere else to go, Mama. All our hope is in you. O sacred, genital earth, bring us forth again in new forms as yet undreamed.
Amen.
Wow.
So maybe we should end it there and take a couple more minutes to listen to the postlude. You allow that, Dave?
You're the boss.
Bob? Okay, can we do that?
Are you extinguishing?
Oh, we're going to extinguish first, yes. As I extinguish this, I would like you to meditate on the words of Robert Frost when he said, Earth's the best place for love. I don't know where it's likely to go better.